All right, it's the 1st of August. We got a new month. This is a superior word, and this is your CG report. It's not real socialism. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. We got a couple of visitors that walked in today. They're Dave and Maya Woodkey. Is that correct pronunciation? All right, they're here from Chicago. I think a couple of you have been to Chicago, and so at lunchtime, stop and greet them. But they're all the way down from Chicago, and they happen to show up when? Red tide season. So yeah, they got here Tuesday. They're leaving Wednesday, or maybe vice versa on that. Anyway, they're here for just a week, and I will hope that we'll get a strong east wind to blow it out. But we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the Revelation plague section. But for now, welcome to both of you, and thank you for the effort of coming to church with us today. Let's see here. Just a note before we get into our normal first category, this is the superior word. Okay, everybody here knows that, and I want you to know that if we have the president, we'll just say that the administration is talking about having possible lockdowns again, national lockdowns. They're not committed to that at this point, but they are talking about that, and of course, this is a part of the agenda, is to get people dependent on the government. Yes. And I want you to know that the superior word will never lock down. I will be here every single week, just as we never closed during the first lockdown. And anybody that wants to come, nobody will be turned away. I want you to know that. You come if you want. If you don't want to come, that's fine. I understand these things, but we have a streaming online audience, and I will be here. If I'm the only person here, that's fine. If other people come, I will not turn you away. We will not lock down this church. Okay? Starting out with news from Israel today from Ynet. Bennett, vaccine refusers are hurting all of us. Once again, I'd like to ask the question as to how that can be. I asked it for the past 2 weeks. I'll ask again. If you've had your vaccination, how is it? And if somebody will just explain this to me, then maybe I can stop talking about it. But how is it that people that are vaccinated are hurt by those who are unvaccinated? I'd like to know that. Israel had lifted almost all restrictions in May following a rapid vaccination campaign, but the spread of the Delta variant has led to the surge in new COVID cases. Okay, well, that begs the question. If the Delta variant is not taken care of by the vaccine, then why are they still asking people to have vaccines? I'd like to know that as well. I'm not trying to question anything and get banned from YouTube. I'm just asking the question as to why is it that if this is not effective against the Delta variant, why are they saying that we still have to be vaccinated? Okay, these are questions that we should be allowed to ask without being banned. Okay, apparently that's not the case. I've read a few people were banned from Twitter over the past week for simply asking questions, not those particular questions, but just asking questions. Okay, and I'm sure that's coming to YouTube as well. So we are on Rumble. We are posting there every single week just in case. And we Rumble now has streaming live capabilities, as does Sermon Audio. So if we ever get shut down, then we will be over there. I would hope that's not the case for simply asking a question. But that's my question so far. They say that these Delta variant cases are prompting the government to reinstate a host of health curbs. Vaccine refusers endanger our health. How can that be, I want to know. Environment and freedom of all Israeli citizens. Our freedom to work, our children's freedom to learn, freedom to celebrate with our family. Vaccine refusers are hurting us all, he said. If everyone gets vaccinated, everyone will be able to maintain their daily routine. Now, this has a death rate that is no higher than many flus of the past. Okay? And those death rates of flus often targeted children or young adults, okay? And the older people were not targeted at all. The COVID we'll call it the COVID flu, has affected people with already pre-existing conditions and old people, okay? Those people, if they have these things, should stay indoors and do what we've done throughout the history of the world, is to isolate the sick people and let the free people go out. But this is the opposite now of what's happening in the world. And they're saying this in Israel, that everyone is affected by people that aren't being vaccinated. And I just want to know how that is possible. How is that possible? From the Times of Israel, Israeli study claims major drop in vaccine protection. Experts don't believe it. Vaccine effectiveness in preventing serious COVID-19 infection among the elderly has fallen to 50%. So it's only 50% effective. So how can it be the fault of people that aren't vaccinated? Yes. According to Israeli figures. But some prominent experts are saying the data shouldn't be taken seriously. The Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccines were wowing Israelis with sky-high effectiveness rates until the rise of the Delta variant. But according to data recently raised at a top-level health ministry meeting, the immunization's effectiveness in preventing serious illness is now at 80% for the general population and 50% for the elderly. This is an Israeli study. People don't want to agree with that. There's a lot of money involved in vaccinations, and these companies want that coming in. So they're going to dispute it. But this is an Israeli study published in the Times of Israel. And then from Zero Hedge, Israel finds Pfizer jab only 39% effective at stopping the Delta variant. So, once again, how can it be non-vaccinated users are the problem? How can that be if this Pfizer jab is ineffective against Delta? And why are they mandating the jab? Why are they doing that? I am just asking the question. From All Israel, yet again, Israel delays reopening to individual vaccinated tourists. No new date set. So, they won't let vaccinated tourists in, even though they're blaming the non-vaccinated who have nothing to do with the equation. And they're not giving any new date for allowing anybody into the country. So nothing makes sense in this issue in Israel right now. Nothing. Okay? From Zero Hedge, sabotage, disrupt, delay. Mossad reportedly planning expanded strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. The goal of such operations would not be to destroy Iran's nuclear program in a single blow, but to sabotage, disrupt, and delay the program indefinitely through surgical strikes and intel operations. This would be in keeping with the current policy, which has seen major accidents, sabotage, and assassinations related to Iran's nuclear program, most of which are believed to be the result of Israeli intel activity. Such covert espionage campaigns would begin with greater black budget funding. IDF sources said that further operations are already in the planning stages, saying there are big plans and small plans. The purpose of the operations is not solely military, but also to humiliate the Iranians and harm their morale, giving them the feeling that they are under siege by Israeli operations they are powerless to stop. I like this approach. It's something that's been effective so far for the past year and a half or 2 years, and I hope it continues. Actually, longer, because they had the Stuxnet, I can't remember how you pronounce it, but that one virus that blew up all of their centrifuges that America was involved in, actually. And so this has been going on longer, but America kind of waffled once we got under the Obama administration. And since then, you know, Trump did a great job of stopping all of this. But then, of course, our current president is trying to just bring everything back to where it was. But let's see here. Last summer especially saw major sabotage operations disrupt key infrastructure across Iran, which was widely blamed on Israeli intelligence as well as more recent cyber attacks on the Natanz nuclear facility, which caused fires and possibly explosions. And there was definitely an explosion. If you see a picture of it from space, there are windows and doors and everything blown out 400 yards. So there was definitely explosions. Fires at oil facilities and factories have also been on the rise in recent months, making it hard to know what's an accident and what is not. There was also last November's almost unbelievable Hollywood-style assassination of the Islamic Republic's top nuclear scientist, which involved a one-ton remote automated gun, which Israeli officials and sources appeared to openly boast about. There's likely a lot more Israeli dirty tricks inside Iran to come in the next weeks and months. So it's kind of, I hate to smile about things like that, but it is funny. So the alternative would be impossible to even imagine. They say that if they get a nuclear bomb in Iran in the morning, they will detonate it over Tel Aviv at night. What Israel is doing is the right thing, okay? From the Times of Israel, Algerian suspended from world judo for refusal to face Israeli at the Olympics. This was last week, right while we were doing the update this week, or last week, that came out. Okay, and then from Breitbart, second Olympian, this is a couple days later, sent home after refusing to face Israeli athlete. Sudan's Mohammed Abdal-Rasul was sent home after refusing to bout against Israel's Tohar Butbol. Okay, there you go with that. So people are being kicked out of the Olympics for... And you know what? If they were fighting Israel in a war, they would have no problem with this. They'd be facing them face to face and they'd fight them. But they don't want to be embarrassed if the Israeli beats them. That's what it comes down to. And so they just don't. It has nothing to do with the individual. It has to do with the ideology behind the individual. So now some news from the State of Christianity today. From DNYUZ, I'm only going to read you the title because I'm sent something in the email 4,800 times, I no longer will report on it because that means everybody knows about it. But if you haven't heard about it, here's the title. Go read up on it. Facebook wants you to connect with God on Facebook. It's a long article. It's very informative. But like I said, I had it sent to me many, many times. And so go read the article. Facebook wants you to connect with God on Facebook. And you know, it's all about money. It's all about joining religions together, et cetera, et cetera. You can see the end times all over it. So there you go with that. Yeah. From Mail Online, hellish noise complaints lodged about £30,000 per week luxury London flat owned by the Vatican. A flat in London that is owned and run by none other than the Vatican has come under controversy for the amount of hellish noise coming from it late at night. Now that sounds like the Vatican to me. Hellish noise coming out of there, and this is one of their little things that they have in London. The £30,000 per week, and that's got to be a lot of money. I don't know what a pound is worth nowadays, but it's probably about $40,000, I guess, per week. Luxury flat in question is at Hans Place in Chelsea. Complaints about loud events, some involving DJs, have been lodged with the local council. The unit is 9,000 square feet and houses a large garden and indoor swimming pool. The property was bought among other luxury London properties in 2014 in a purchase that was overseen by Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Becciui, I guess is how you pronounce that. Other investments overseen by Becciui have been under mounting international scrutiny as a result of the allegations brought against him. The London flat and other properties are held through Jersey shell companies through a Vatican unit in charge of charitable donations that are intended for the poor and needy. So if you're in the Catholic Church and you're sending in charitable donations for the poor and needy, your money is going to buy 9,000 square foot flats in London that have hellish noise emanating from them. Yes, a local resident said that people at the property held noisy parties and social gatherings there, including parties that went into the early hours of the morning. Zero Hedge, Vatican reveals details on more than 5,000 properties it owns in first-of-its-kind financial disclosures. 5,000 properties. Of the more than 5,000 properties, 4,051 are in Italy and about 1,120 are abroad. Only 14% of the Vatican's properties in Italy are rented at market rates, with the rest being rented at discounts, mostly to church employees. 40% of buildings were institutional buildings such as schools, convents, and hospitals. The disclosure comes days before a trial of 10 people connected to the purchase of one building in London's Smart South Kensington district. That building led to enormous losses after being purchased as an investment in 2014 by the Vatican Secretariat of State. Father Juan Antonio Guerrero, head of the Vatican's Secretariat for the Economy, commented that the trial would be a turning point in credibility for the Vatican. Well, I don't think that'll ever be possible, but that's what they're claiming, and that a similar situation could not happen again due to new measures put into place. We'll see, but I doubt if that's the case. From Breitbart, D.C. Archbishop, once again a Roman Catholic, Americans must... You're told you must share our abundance with illegal aliens. Yeah, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Cardinal Wilton Gregory, says Americans must welcome, protect, and share the United States with illegal aliens while urging Congress to pass amnesty. Catholic social teaching upholds the principle that every person has the right to live in his or her own homeland in security and dignity. However, when loss of work forces migration, we must welcome them, protect them, and share our abundance with them. Please find that in Scripture for me and then send it to me, okay? Because I've missed that part in my readings through the Bible. from the Christian Institute, Blackpool Council ordered to pay over £100,000 for discriminating against Christians. Great. This is in the UK. Blackpool Council has been ordered to pay $25,000 in damages and £84,000 in costs for discrimination against a local Christian festival involving over 200 churches. In 2018, adverts for Lancashire Festival of Hope were controversially removed by the council over guest speaker Franklin Graham's biblical views on marriage and sexuality. But earlier this year, Manchester County Court ruled overwhelmingly in favor of festival organizers, stating the council had shown wholesale disregard for the right to freedom of expression. Good. I didn't expect that, but that's what happened. Some news from the Middle East and Africa today, from All Israel. Unprecedented open-ended UN probe of Israel to be led by controversial former human rights chief. They were talking about doing this, they have done it, and they have appointed somebody to do it. An open-ended investigation into Israel. No end, ever. The UNHRC announced last week that its former chief, Navi Pillay, would head an unprecedented open-ended inquiry into systematic human rights abuses in Israel and the Palestinian territories. Pillay is expected to lead a three-person investigation with the purpose of examining alleged human rights abuses and their underlying root causes in the intractable Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The official mission of the probe is to investigate all alleged violations of international humanitarian law and all alleged violations and abuses of international human rights law in Israel, East Jerusalem, and the West Bank and Gaza. The Commission of Inquiry Against the Jewish State is the first of its kind with an open-ended mandate that could theoretically go on indefinitely. By contrast, the commission that inquires human rights violations in neighboring Syria, where about 500,000 people have been killed in the past decade, requires its mandate to be renewed every year. Imagine that. Israel, who's had a few deaths, most of them because people have come and attacked an Israeli first, is on an open-ended investigation. In Syria, they have to approve it year by year. In May, the Israeli government rejected the UN's decision to probe the conflict with Hamas. By contrast, Hamas, which systematically commits war crimes against both civilian Israelis and Gazans, welcomed the probe. At the time, the Israeli foreign minister stated that the probe completely ignores the 4,300 rockets toward Israeli citizens that were fired indiscriminately by Hamas and Islamic Jihad terrorists in Gaza. Next article, Jerusalem Post. Listen to the title. Palestinians, not Israelis, Palestinians accuse Hamas of storing weapons in residential areas. And they want an ongoing probe of Israel, but they will not probe this when the Palestinians are saying that this is happening. Palestinian factions and human rights organizations have called on Hamas and other Palestinian terror groups to stop storing weapons. So they've known that this has been going on all along in residential areas following another explosion which killed one person and injured 14 others on Thursday. They also demanded a thorough investigation into the explosion in order to hold those responsible accountable. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip said that the explosion took place in a warehouse used by Hamas for storing weapons. The Palestinian NGO network, an umbrella organization comprising 133 member organizations, also called for a serious and transparent investigation into the explosion. That will never happen. The network stresses the need to expedite the provision of all forms of assistance and support to those affected. It also stresses the need to announce the results of the investigation and to take serious measures to prevent such explosions from happening again. Palestinian writer Fadel al-Manasfeh said it was clear that Hamas chooses popular markets as a safe place for its ammo warehouses because it knows that Israel does not target such places. Just blew the UN right out of the water with that statement, but they'll continue on anyway, won't they? He said that Hamas was confused by the explosion because of one of its similar weapons warehouses had been discovered. He also pointed out that a similar explosion took place in an open market in the Nusayrat refugee camp last year, killing more than 10 Palestinians and injuring dozens of others. Unbelievable. And we've got this going on in the world today. Israel is under a constant microscope, and these people are not investigated at all. All right, from the Times of Israel, in second border incident, Jordanian troops kill man who was trying to reach Israel. Now, a couple years ago, we had tear gas shot at illegal aliens coming across the border from Mexico. Do you remember what happened? The international community went crazy. They went crazy. And then they threatened Trump if he ever tried something like that, because that happened under Obama's administration. Okay, they threatened Trump. You are never to use tear gas. And it was just international news. Read this again. In second border incident, Jordanian troops kill man who was trying to reach Israel. The incident came hours after Israeli soldiers arrested five border infiltrators from Jordan after several hours of searches. In the second incident, three suspects approached a border fence between Israel and Jordan. Jordanian forces called out to the three and opened fire when one of the suspects continued toward the fence. The Israeli military said it was looking into the matter and emphasized that the entire incident took place on Jordanian soil. So the Jordanians can kill their people if they're walking towards Israel, but we can't shoot tear gas at people that are flooding in from another country. All right, as we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Nikkei, Mongolia's mass jabs fail to suppress COVID spread. Really? You look at when they started, they had no infections in Mongolia. None. As soon as they started giving the shots, guess what happened? No kidding, you can go look at yourself. Don't trust me, just go look at it. Immediately, they went through the ceiling and they have not stopped going up since. Okay? Well, whatever, it is what it is. Mongolia has administered more shots relative to its population than any country in Asia. Yet, it also leads Asia in proportional rankings for new COVID-19 cases. The severity of the outbreak comes down to transmission by young people and other unvaccinated groups, along with complacency after the country's initial successful containment of the virus, compounded by the Delta and other COVID variants. Sounds just like everybody else reporting on everything else when it cannot be what they're saying. It can't be. These factors are considered more important than shortcomings in the Chinese vaccines that the country's mainly relied on. An advisor to Mongolia's health minister told Nikkei, based on our analyses, we observed that Sinopharm reduced mortality by 94% and was 74% effective for fully vaccinated people to those who received the first dose. Now, what I'd like to know is that based on our analysis, we observed that Sinopharm reduced the mortality by 94%. If they didn't have any mortality before they started giving these out, how could it have reduced anything? I just am asking the question. I'm not accusing anybody. I just want to know. I'm sure that we can get in trouble for asking this, but I just like to know how this is possible, okay? The book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From the Register, Thales, it's a company. Thales launches payment card with onboard fingerprint scanner. Now, this is not yet the mark of the beast, but this is building to it, okay? The mark of the beast is not the vaccine. Please get this right. Nobody is being vaccinated in the right hand or in the forehead. That is not it, okay? But the right hand is where certain identifying factors are, whether it's vein studies or whether it's your fingerprints or whatever. Maybe a little prick of your blood to test it every time you buy something. Whatever. The forehead is where your eye is, okay? It's going to be something to do with technology like this. It's not the vaccine. So please understand that the vaccine is leading us into the end times. It's not the mark of the beast. Okay, Thales has announced what it claims is the world's first payment card to include an onboard fingerprint sensor, promising improved security and usability, and an end to contactless payment limits. You can spend all the money you want now because of this. The card replaces the traditional PIN with an on-card fingerprint sensor and requires no modifications to existing point-of-sales payment terminals. Before I go on, I'll let you know what I do when I go into the bank. Every time, you know, if you go in to cash a check, they ask you to put your card in, right? And then it asks you for your PIN. Every single time I'm in there, I make up a number, 8247, and I push it. And everybody's going, he said the PIN number. I always give a different number, and it's not the PIN that I'm typing in. But all the girls at the bank know me, and then they have to tell all the people in line, he's just leading you on, okay? That's my way of getting people. But I do it every single time I go in. I just make up a number and say it out loud while I'm pushing my pen. Okay, there you go. Banks signing up to use it will need to implement a procedure for enrolling users' fingerprints onto the card's secure element. Thales claimed to have implemented the card with banks worldwide, boasting of 30 months of live trials and 10,000 users across 9 countries. Over 80% of users interviewed confirmed they love it and feel it's more convenient and provides greater security. In terms of security, the biometric card ultimately means that a lost or stolen card is useless without the owner's fingerprint to authenticate a transaction. In such trustworthy payment environments, there is no need to set any payment limit. There are concerns over using fingerprints as an authentication system, though. And this is where I say this is not yet the mark of the beast because they have problems with it. It'll be something, but it won't be this. But the identification process is coming to the mark of the beast right now. Okay, so here you go. Here are some of the problems with it. There are concerns over using fingerprints as an authentication system. For starters, if the biometric data is leaked, you can't change your fingerprints as easily as a PIN or a password. So now you got a problem there. Criminals also can have a replica fingerprint good enough to fool commercial sensors from a photo of someone's waving, creating a mold which can be used in place of the target digit. Okay, so those are some problems with that type of technology. But this is leading us in that area, and it's going very quickly because for everything that they figure out, this doesn't work, they're figuring out a way to make it work without that limitation. We're getting there, and we're getting there very quickly. From CNBC, Amazon is hiring a digital currency and blockchain expert, signaling a growing interest in cryptocurrency. From The Register, China to test digital version of its currency at 2022 Winter Olympics. From The India Times, it's time for digital currency to counter crypto, says RBI. Okay, so there you go. Those are some digital currency things going on in the world this week. All right, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues of the Book of Revelation, which it prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. Before we get into any of those things, I mentioned it at the beginning of the report today, we have red tide in Sarasota. Okay, red tide is a naturally occurring microorganism. It goes all the way back to the 1600s when the conquistadors were in the Gulf of Mexico checking out Florida. They documented red tide. Okay, if you want to know some of the worst red tides in all of history, just go back into the 1800s, and they have records going all the way back to the 1800s, which I have copies of, okay? And they tell you how many tons of fish died, et cetera, et cetera. They were much worse in the past. Sometimes they're bad here. One year when I was here in Sarasota growing up as a little boy, we had it last an entire year. It went all the way from summer to summer, and that could happen again. We've got a west wind blowing right now, and until that goes away, we're going to have red tide. But I want you to know that if you are watching this, you probably have not heard that Sarasota has red tide right now. But during the election year, 2 years ago, when Rick Scott was the governor and wanted to be the senator, that was all over national news, blaming Rick Scott, the governor, for being responsible for red tide, which is a naturally occurring microorganism. Okay? And Ron DeSantis was running against a lunatic who didn't win, but because of that, they wanted to make it look like it was the GOP's fault. Do not be duped by people when you read the news. There is never a time that you watch the news that the liberals do not have an agenda. Ever. You will never see anything that they do from this point forward in what they do ever without an agenda, a dishonest agenda. I want you to be aware of that. And this is why you haven't heard about red tide, is because it doesn't matter. It's not an election year. Okay. But if you want to come to Sarasota, maybe give me a call first or send me an email and I will tell you if the red tide is still ongoing, because this is the way the liberal agenda works. You're not going to hear about it because they don't care about it. It's a non-issue. Okay, but if it's an election year, this is going to be beaten to death again. So I just wanted to let you know that. From RTM, 7 fully vaccinated Stanford students test positive for COVID-19 in a single week, all of whom are symptomatic. Free West Media, vast majority of COVID-19 cluster in Cape Cod were vaccinated. Thank you. Yahoo, a Georgia restaurant will refuse service for unvaccinated people after breakthrough COVID infections among fully vaccinated staff. How is it possible that the unvaccinated are causing that? They have been vaccinated, and the president told us that these are effective. Right. He told us. I'm just asking the question.
He's an honest man.
He is an honest man. Yahoo. Which is a great word following what you just said, by the way. Yahoo. Vaccinated people in Singapore make up 3/4 of recent COVID-19 cases.
Yep.
Mail Online. Department of Veterans Affairs becomes first federal agency to issue vaccine mandate. 115,000 frontline workers have 8 weeks to get the shot or face getting fired. Health Impact. And this is still an EUA. I want you to know this is still EUA. It is experimental under whatever, whatever. It, yes, thank you. It just, they're forcing this on people when it is an experimental vaccine. Now, there is still ongoing, I believe, Lisa over in Australia sent me something that reminds me about this. There are some court cases that have brought suit to the Nuremberg court. Yeah. About this. And we'll see if they ever pan out. My guess is that everybody on Earth will have been forced vaccinated by the time they make a decision on this. But they, the suit is out there because the Nuremberg trials are very specific. Go read them. And it's not a long document on this, but they are very specific about what can and cannot be done to a person. Health Impact News. Minnesota woman loses both legs and both hands following second Pfizer COVID-19 shot. Her name is Jumai Nachi. She was working as a medical assistant in a clinic in Minneapolis and was instructed to take the COVID-19 vaccines. She was instructed to. They said, you must do this. She complied. And immediately after getting the second injection, according to her husband, she started to experience chest pain at work. Things went downhill fast after that, as the all-too-familiar symptoms of blood clots, a known side effect of the Pfizer COVID-19 shots, were found in her heart. And today she has both legs amputated and will also have to have both of her hands amputated. Epic Times, Atlanta, Chicago to require masks when schools reopen in fall. Epic Times, DeSantis rejects federal mask mandates for children. Not doing that in Florida, he says.
Yay.
Newsweek, Australian police searching for thousands of anti-lockdown protesters, very selfish boofheads, they say. This was a week ago. They're tracking these people down, just like they are with the January 6 people here in America. They're probably going to have them in jail for the rest of their lives for simply protesting what's going on over there. I'll give you more on that in a minute, maybe, but definitely next week I'll probably have some things for you on Australia and what is going on. Maybe I'll just tell you one of them right now. It'll be the next article. At least 3,500 protesters gathered in Sydney's Central Business District to protest government lockdown orders and mask mandates, with many carrying Australian national flags and signs calling for freedom and the truth. Okay, Sky News, if you know them, they're in Australia. They're the only conservative news. They were just banned from YouTube. They no longer have a voice out there, and they were the only people. They're like, that's it. There's no more dissent over there. It's all been squashed. And they've called out the military in Australia. The military are enforcing these lockdowns. Listen to what this says. Epic Times. Australia imposes 70-80% vaccination targets to reopen and lift restrictions. In other words, if you don't do this, we're not going to allow you any freedoms at all. Now imagine that. We are going to keep this country locked down until 70 or 80% of the vaccination targets are met. And then, when they meet 70 to 80%, they're going to move the goalposts and they're going to say, we are not opening. They want total control over what is going on in these societies.
Yep.
That's all it is. This is a liberal agenda. Power and keep any dissent away so that they have complete control over the media, over the tech, of everything. And pretty soon there will be no voices out there to speak against them, and they'll have complete control and total power. This is what's coming. I feel bad for the people there. We have a few governors in this nation here, a few governors only, that have saved us from exactly what is happening all around the world. Okay?
Yes.
If we get shut down at the Superior Word for whatever reason, please remember we are on Rumble and we are on Sermon Audio, and we will have live streaming within a week on one of those. I don't know why they would shut us down, because all I do is read news articles, but you know, they don't like people to do that anymore. Epic Times, protesters against COVID restrictions labeled anarchists by New South Wales police chief. Breitbart, anti-vaccine passport protesters storm French town hall, pull down Macron portrait. This is all 1 week ago. up and through this week. Express, anti-vaccine protester storm Manchester COVID test center as thousands descend on London. That is a lie. It is millions. If you have seen the news, they have weekly millions of people on London, and they will not report it within England. Many of the people in England have no idea that this is going on. Anyway, we'll go on. Extra IE, thousands to take to Dublin streets to protest against vaccine passports. WION, Italy, awash with protests against COVID certificates. Epic Times, protests rage across Europe as lockdown vaccination mandates start. BBC, Tunisia's prime minister sacked after violent COVID protests. The world is in uproar over this, over what's going on. You talk about the nations in a rage. Here it is. Telegraph. COVID could be spread through flatulence, ministers claim. Yes. The official advice is to open a window. This is true, right from the United Kingdom. The official advice is to open a window to increase ventilation and slow the spread of COVID. But now there could be an added incentive. The virus may also spread by flatulence. Listen, I know that was a little bit crude, but I have to tell you, these reports depress me. I do research for these 7 days a week, and I get depressed. And I don't want to be unhappy, so I put in things that make me happy. And I know that it depresses some people, and they don't want to watch these reports without it. And I have people actually email and thank me for the levity. I didn't make that up. That was from the Telegraph. And so there you go.
You could make that up, really.
Who could make it up? Some minister in the UK. That's who. From the CDC. This is right from the CDC website. I've got it. Screenshot of it for you so that they can't say I'm making it up and, you know, take us down. After December 31st, 2021, CD will withdraw the request to the US FDA for EUA, the authorization of the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel, the assay first introduced in February 2020 for detection of SARS-CoV-2 only. CDC encourages laboratories to consider adoption of a multiplexed method that can facilitate detection and differentiation of SARS-CoV-2 and influenza viruses. In other words, the PCR test that they have given for the last year has lumped both together. Both together. That's why there was no flu cases reported in the United States or around the world for the past year, is because they could not, here it is, they could not differentiate SARS-CoV-2 and influenza. So if the flu was a bad strain of flu that we had last year and killed a lot of people, they didn't know because they lumped it all under, this is their website. This isn't me saying this. This is a screenshot from their website. Such assays can facilitate continuing testing for both influenza and SARS-CoV-2 and can save both time and resources as we head into the influenza season. There you go. From DNYUZ, why everyone has the worst summer cold ever? I didn't read the article. I know why. It's because when you lock people up in their houses, they lose their immunity. My neighbors, I won't say who they are, but they're down the ways, down the road a ways. And when their children were young, they built a new house. And they put in a giant screening system. Everything that comes into the house goes through a giant filtration system, and it blows all day long. You hear it blowing out this air. And I said, those kids are going to grow up with all kinds of medical problems because they're not being exposed to what we're supposed to be exposed to. You want to know why everyone has had the worst summer cold ever? Because of what they've done over the past 12 months. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that from Breitbart. Who would have figured this? Women prisoners given birth control as transgender men arrive in prison. California Democrats are inviting violent male criminals who say they are transgender to move into housing with women prisoners and, in exchange, are providing the women with condoms and abortion pills. Anybody, if you say I'm transgender, you don't have to be. All you have to do is say I am, and you can move into the women's prison now. From Weasel Zippers, Pelosi, taxpayers should fund abortions because it's an issue of health. From the Daily Caller, Pelosi says, as a devout Catholic, having five kids was great for her, but poor women need taxpayer-funded abortions. From JTN, Pelosi's bishop says, Speaker, epitome of hypocrisy after her claims to be a devout Catholic. Yes. Mail Online, Minnesota fourth graders are given equity survey on race and gender and are told by the teacher not to skip questions, even if they don't understand them, and not to tell their parents. Some other news from around the world, and please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. I think you'll be blessed by them. We started in Genesis about 10 years ago. We're up to Deuteronomy 21. This is a marvelous passage today. I want you to know that Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 23. You want pictures of Christ? Right in Deuteronomy, folks. From Zero Hedge, Cuba demoted to not real socialism. Yeah. If the Socialist Party of Great Britain is an authority on such things, it is official. In light of recent anti-communist protests and civil unrest, Cuba has been demoted to not real socialism and reclassified along with the USSR and other failed socialist experiments as actually state capitalism. Yes, La Revolution, it appears, is moving into the last stage of what we might call the Nimitz cycle, in honor of Christian Nimitz's excellent and downloadable for $0 book on socialism, The Failed Idea That Never Dies. The first stage is the honeymoon stage, where things look like they're going well. Contrary to what neoliberal naysayers might think, short-run successes seem to prove that socialism is viable. In the second stage, which Nimitz calls the excuses and whataboutery stage, mounting socialist failures are explained away as the products of a series of unfortunate and entirely coincidental events, like weather in the Soviet Union and Zimbabwe. In the case of Cuba, we're told, as we have been hearing for six decades, that the country's problems aren't because of socialism. They're actually because of the U.S. embargo. If it weren't for the embargo, we're told, the region would be stable and socialist Cuba would thrive. The embargo, however, is not what causes Cuba's woes, and people blaming the embargo overlook the fact that Cuba trades pretty extensively with all of the rest of the world. I suspect the U.S. embargo hasn't really hurt Cuba that much more than the transgender bathroom boycott hurt Target. The embargo story also doesn't make a whole lot of sense in light of Marx's claims about imperialism and free trade. On one hand, we learn that periphery countries are poor because they trade freely with rich countries like the United States and welcome foreign direct investment. On the other hand, we learn that Cuba is poor because it cannot trade freely with the United States. It also ignores the conspicuous and inconvenient truth that the Cuban government restricts imports and has only lifted these restrictions for food, medicine, and toiletries temporarily in response to the protests. In the last stage of the Nimitz cycle, the failures become too obvious to ignore or explain away, and the country is demoted to not real socialism. Western intellectuals fawned over Stalin's experiment with socialism, and only after it became a conspicuous failure did we learn that it wasn't actually real socialism, it was Stalinism. And if only Trotsky had been in charge instead of Stalin. So this is where the world is. We're seeing failed states like Venezuela, and we're saying, oh, that isn't the ideal model, because these people cannot learn when you stick a fork into an outlet, you are going to get electrocuted. It doesn't matter how many times you do it. You will always get electrocuted. Okay? But they can't get that right. And so now, once again, they're saying that Cuba is not the model. And so the United States will have to be the model. That's what they're getting at. Epic Times. Biden administration spending $3 million a day to suspend border wall construction, Senate report says. Yes, Biden's attempts to suspend or end border wall construction are costing taxpayers $3 million every single day, with an estimated price tag of at least $1.8 billion. Because the wall was already funded, the materials have already been built, and he simply will not build the wall. Breitbart. Biden's DHS cancels 31 miles of border wall construction funded by Trump. It was fully funded. They just canceled it. And they say that there's a problem and we are taking care of it. From Georgia Star News, Kamala Harris tells illegal aliens that America is your home. These people do not want the best for the people of the United States of America. They want the destruction of the United States of America. Liberals do nothing. You will hear nothing that a liberal says ever in regards to politics, ever without an agenda. It will never happen. Just remember that. I said that earlier. I'll continue to repeat that. Epic Times. DOJ drops charges against five researchers accused of hiding Chinese military affiliations. They came to this country. They lied about it. They're working in the country, and they have dropped all the charges. The DOJ has dropped its charges against five visiting Chinese scientists who were accused of lying about the extent of their ties to the Chinese military. The scientists included biomedical and cancer researchers in California and a doctoral candidate studying artificial intelligence in Indiana, whose various charges, including visa fraud, were dropped by prosecutors, according to brief court filings. Assistant U.S. Attorney Hieko Coppola gave no reason for seeking the dismissal, and acting U.S. Attorney Philip Talbert declined to comment. Zero Hedge. Chicago Chamber of Commerce rages as average unemployed Illinoisian parent earns $35 an hour sitting on the couch. Illinois' employees are hurting from a lack of workers while the state unemployment rate remains high. When a parent can stay home and make $51,627 on unemployment, the prospects of getting more workers back to work this summer appear dim. Welcome to Florida, folks. And here, come on up here. My son-in-law just arrived, so I'll have you all say hi to him. Nick, it's good to have you here. Come here.
How embarrassed I am. Yeah. My phone died, and I'm never late.
Well, don't worry. His phone died, and he's late. This is Nick, my son-in-law. Good to have you here in Florida. Got here yesterday, I think. All right, let's see. We got PJ Media. You're more likely to get murdered in Chicago than be hospitalized for COVID. That's true. Chicago, 18 murders per 100,000 people. A senior citizen hospitalized for China flu, 2.9 per 100,000. So you're not only more likely, you are 9 times more likely, a little less than that, and we'll say 7 times more likely. From the Washington Examiner, George Soros funneled $1 million to defund the police movement as violent crime continues to surge. The sum was Soros's largest political donation of the 2021 election cycle and supported the PAC's effort to slash police budgets. Once again, there's always an agenda with these people. Always. Zero Hedge. California shoplifters stroll. They didn't run. They strolled out of TJ Maxx with arms full of merchandise. Now, remember, this was a couple years ago. They passed a law that said nobody is to be arrested for anything less than $1,000. You're not to charge them. So now people don't even bother anymore. They just walk in, grab $1,000 worth of stuff, and probably more because nobody cares. And they literally just walked right out with the cameras following them. People taking photos of them, just grab their stuff and walk out. And this is what happens there. And anybody that would want to be a business person in California has got to be insane. Okay? In yet another example of California's decline under Democratic leadership, two men were caught on film casually walking out of a suburban L.A. TJ Maxx store while carrying armfuls of merchandise just 7 months after L.A. District Attorney Gascon announced his office would no longer prosecute misdemeanor crimes such as shoplifting. What I think they should do, I'm not kidding about this, because it's no longer illegal, you're no longer breaking the law. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
I think every single person in California should just walk into a store and take out $1,000 worth of stuff. That will happen one day, and it will never happen again. But I'm serious. If I could do that now, because it's not illegal, I would do it just to make the point. You're no longer breaking the law. You're not violating scripture. You're just taking something that they say you can have. Epic Times. California is experiencing a crime tsunami, says the Sacramento DA. No kidding. Zero Hedge. Jobless claims are plunging in Republican states, flat in Democrat states. Epic Times. Incident tracking app pays users. This is the worst idea ever in the history of bad ideas. Listen to this. Incident tracking app pays users $25 per hour to live stream crime scenes and house fires.
Oh, what?
Go start a house on fire and there's no accountability at all for it. Who's going to say, oh, I was just out here filming and there's a house on fire and they're paying me $25 an hour to do it. This is the worst idea ever. But this is somebody's idea. Zero Hedge. T Team USA stunned with first Olympics basketball loss in two decades. Weasel zippers. United flight grounded after passengers receive photo via airdrop of a BB gun. Everybody freaked out. A BB gun on a cell phone. Get off the plane. Yes. No kidding. Okay, who said it? Good judgment comes from experience. And a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Anybody? Who? No. No. Will Rogers. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. Okay, got a last work here for you. Illinois workers sit on the couch, not to work on the job, but their pouch. Unemployment, big check. I won't work. What the heck? Making big bucks. Just call me a slouch. Okay, I got a couple ironies for you, and we'll be done. From Fox News. Caitlyn Jenner calls Olympian disrespectful for anthem snub, says athletes should honor our values. Caitlyn Jenner said that. Okay, Zero Hedge. Democrat who featured in infamous maskless flight. Remember those Democrats that went from Texas to... calls for universal mask wearing. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.